Father, Father in heaven, we appreciate you. You're so much better than we are.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Amen. Honestly, that we can point to you. You are everything. Thank you so much for being you. And then loving us. Those are two very different things. You being you, you loving us. And we appreciate that. We do. What is this life without you? Basically, it's an opportunity. It's a reason not to live if we can't have you. Thank you. Speak to us, God, and may we walk with you all the way home. Mission's name, amen.
Amen.
So, I'm supposed to read when that dog is on a chain yelping.
I thought you did that.
The dog was on a chain because Jazz came over to mom.
And then they left him on a chain.
I thought he was in trouble, like he knocked over the garbage.
And he has been yelping like there's nobody's business.
I just put on a chain so he could mom.
You did that.
You don't like.
But why didn't you take him off the chain? He is unhappy.
He is very upset. I thought he was in.
And I have heard him all day. He erupted some things because of it.
Where would you find him?
In the cage in the house?
Generally speaking, that's usually where we would put him, is inside. He would be fine in a cage, but outside he thinks that's his cage. So when you do that, you just seem like you really...
He can't defend his territory.
Yeah, he is really upset. But I decided not to do anything until I talked to one
that
of you.
Really funny.
He doesn't seem to think so.
No.
All right, well, that's really what the Bible study is about. It's about wasting the dog. No. Okay, so Daniel chapter 6 is a great story. This is a story of Daniel and the lion's den. Did you ever hear that before?
Yeah.
How many know that story?
You've heard that.
If you know the story, raise your right hand.
I kind of know it, so I'll just...
raise them both. If you kind of know them, raise them both. If you don't
that
know it at all... You know the story of Daniel and the lion's den? Okay. Well, then look at this story. This is an interesting story. Daniel is, he loves God. But the king's men, they don't like that he loves God. So basically, let's see, where do I want to... They said, listen, in verse Daniel chapter 6, they didn't like also in verse 3 that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, but mainly because he was a godly guy. So they were trying to find something wrong in Daniel. And this is very important for what we're going to talk about tonight. But they could not find anything wrong in Daniel. He was faithful. And there was no fault found in him. Then said these men, we can't find anything against this Daniel. Unless we find it concerning the word of God. The law of his God. So what they did is they went to the king. And they said, you know what? Why don't we make a statute, a law, that no one is allowed to pray to any god or man for 30 days? And unless they pray to you. And if somebody does so, I know. Can you believe it? Pray to you. And if they do it, let's throw him into a den, which is basically a large cave full of a pit of lions. We'll throw him down there if they don't pray to you for 30 days. So they wanted to have 30 days of prayer, but not for God. So, of course, whenever you appeal to someone's vanity, who is not born again, the king thought, sure. And he signed it so that it couldn't be changed. And when Daniel knew, this is interesting, Daniel knew that they signed it, he went to his house, he went upstairs, where he used to kneel three times a day, and he opened, and his windows were open, and he would pray three times a day, and he gave thanks to God as he always had done. So Daniel didn't change. He did the same thing all the time. Now these men, they found Daniel praying. Of course they were looking for him. And praying before God. So they came and they ran and told the king, didn't you sign a document that said that you can't do this? And the king, who doesn't know it's Daniel, said, yeah, which you can't change. They said, Daniel, basically your buddy, in so many words, he's not listening to you. So when the king heard these words, he was really upset with himself, because he loved Daniel. And he set on Daniel, his heart on Daniel, to deliver him. And he tried 15 different ways to try to save Daniel. But they couldn't. And he said, you know that you can't change your law. So they finally the king had to say, okay. And they took him and threw him into this big pit of lions. And the king spoke and said unto Daniel, your God whom you serve, he'll deliver you. Now this king didn't believe in God, but he believed in Daniel. And a stone was brought, and they put it on the front, in front of, on the mouth of the pit or the den. And the king sealed it, and then they waited. And it said the king didn't even, he stayed up all night, he didn't eat. And he didn't let any music be brought to him. He just couldn't bear that Daniel was being eaten. So he ran early in the morning, and they took out the stone, took away the stone, and he was crying out to Daniel and said, Daniel, servant of the living God, did your God deliver you? Yeah, buddy. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God sent an angel, and he shut the mouths of the lion, that they could not hurt me, because I was innocent, and I did not do you any harm, O king. The king was so excited to see Daniel, and they pulled him out of the den, and do you know what he did after that? He took those men, the ones who had conspired. You got it.
And I didn't even.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Yeah, they put him right in that den. And boom. And guess what? Of course, you think the lion's mouth was shut then?
Nope.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Crunch. Dead. So, beautiful story. Exactly. And then he said, and then he made a decree. He said, in every dominion, at my kingdom, men will tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He's faithful forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. He delivers and he rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amazing story, right?
Yes.
How old do you think Daniel was around this time?
Young.
Young. pictures in the Bible, pictures that people draw show him as young. Actually, most historians believe he was in his 80s.
What? Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? This 80-year-old man that was going to a pit. That's painful, isn't it?
That's hard.
I agree.
Oh my God.
So they're throwing this guy into a pit. But now I want to take you to Daniel 1. Let's go there. That's Daniel 8. I mean 6. Now let's go to Daniel 1. Now in Daniel 1, now Daniel's living in Babylon, basically. He was carried away. He didn't want to go, but they conquered the Israel, and then they took him. They conquered Judah and took Daniel. And then they took them and they brought them to Babylon, and which was tough for them. So Daniel was with a bunch of buddies, and in verse 7 it tells us who they were. There's Daniel, who became Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah they called him Shadrach, to Mishael they called him Meshach, and Azariah and Abednego. But here's the thing. They took these children, and verse 4, these were children. And these children were well-favored and skillful in all wisdom. And they wanted to teach them the tongue of the Babylonians. Now, and Daniel, and they fed them. In verse 5, every day the king would give them food from the king's meat. And the wine that he drank. And he did for 3 years so that later on they could be strong enough to stand before the king. But they remember, they don't love God. They don't know God. They don't. So Daniel, in verse 8, he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. He was not going to eat what they gave him. And that's 3 years. How's that possible? So he said, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to drink his wine. And he told the people over him, I'm not going to do it. And now, Daniel was they loved Daniel. So the guy over him came and said to Daniel, I'm scared for you because you're supposed to eat and drink the king's food. And your face, you're going to get skinny. You're not going to have meat. It's not going to be pretty. And also, they're going to kill me. They're going to chop off my head. And Daniel said to this man, he said, listen, give me 10 days. And honestly, we're just going to eat plain food, but not the king's food. And we're going to drink water. And then he, not tea, Niasha, water. He said, then come see what we look like. And if we look bad, then we'll discuss this matter. Let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and our countenance of the children. I want you to compare those guys with us and see who looks better. Now, he's a young man, you know, so we would say maybe 16, 17. So they prove them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they look stronger, fatter, heavier than those who ate the king's meat. So that's how they let them do it. And he gave them, and God blessed them with more knowledge. Now, here's the thing. This Daniel is a teenager. He was maybe 16, 17, at the most 18. And he makes a big decision that he is not going to eat or defile himself. He was with anything that was not God. Even though he had been kidnapped, he was only going to honor God. Because to eat that food was, a lot of that food was offered to idols. A lot of that was to come under that whole spirit. So here he is as a teenager. And then here he is as what we would say an old man. And this is the question before us. Because not everybody starts off here and ends up there. Not everyone starts off with an amazing testimony before God. And says, like, hey, listen, God, I'm not going to eat your meat. And then ends up over here even with a more amazing. Children more know the story of Daniel in the lion's den then they know the story of Daniel not eating the king's meat. In fact, that most artists draw Daniel as a young man. They draw him as one, and kids take pride in that. You tell them Daniel in the lion's den, they want to reenact Daniel in the lion's den. Okay? And it's a cool story. But an old man with that story. And honestly, this is a kind of a simple Bible study, and maybe we'll do more. I mean, there's a lot I could say about this. But it's the race is not to the swift. Swift is really fast. Nor is the battle to the mighty. You know, the race really isn't to those people. We can, God is not afraid of our weakness. But it's not afraid of our lack of strength. He's not afraid. In fact, he says that we will go from strength to strength, I believe, in Psalm, I think it's 87 or 84. But, you know, God is not afraid of these things for us. Psalm 84:7, that we would go from strength to strength. That was God's intent. You know, it's interesting in John 15:16, that God, Christ is speaking to disciples, and he said, listen, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I ordained you. Ordained means like I pointed you out, I picked you out, I said, this is what you're going to do. That you should go and bring fruit. And this is very important. Because, you know, a tree can go for, a tree can bear fruit for, I don't know, a season. But really what makes a tree special is that it can bear fruit that remains. That's what remains. If you get a good vineyard, you get a good group of trees that every year over and over they bear fruit. That's an amazing thing. They grow stronger. Their roots grow deeper. They stick around. That's a great tree. And Christ was saying that I want you to have not fruit for the moment, but fruit that remains. And honestly, that is something for us that, to have in our minds. It can be easy, even in times of what they call revival, even in a personal revival in my own heart, it can be easy to take something and to run with it and to say, this is amazing. I love church. I love what have you. This is great. And for the season, I can be like Daniel. I can purpose in my heart. I'm not going to defile myself. No more of this. This is great. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to do this. And we love it. And then 10 years from now, the person says, hey, you still going to church? You know how many people we meet on the street who used to go to church? Mm-hmm. Do you remember the people we meet on the street who used to go to Sunday school? Mm-hmm. And then another 10 years go by, and they can barely remember. They can barely remember. There is a fervor, an energy that we can have that God gives. But God is not a firecracker God. You know, firecracker, like you light it, woo, 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 woo. Great. Okay, now next one. Woo, 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 yeah. Toss it. No, God is not the God of he's not a firecracker God. He doesn't put his spirit inside of me. He didn't put his spirit inside of me and said, hey, get them started, stick around, do the best you can with them. And then, you know, then you got to move on. But actually, he put his spirit inside of me to be alive evermore in me and to take me somewhere. So take me to conform me, to shape me to his image. So that every day I would grow more and more to that image. The path of the just shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. It's a brighter and brighter. You know, there's two worlds we can live in. And the book of Ecclesiastes, another book in the Bible, And also Psalm 90, it's like you're going to live for 70 years old, and if you live in a couple extra, you know, your days will be hard, you know. Remember your Creator in the days of their youth before the evil days draw nigh. There's a heaviness, and I can live that Christianity where I know of God and I remember. So if someone asks me, do I believe in God? Yes. But I am not connected to Him like I was maybe when I would not defile myself with the king's meat. I lose that connection. But the greatness of Daniel's life is that as he reaches his older age, that he is able to say, listen, he's fearless. Daniel hears the decree, the law, and he still goes up in his room with the window open. He prays. That's a fearless guy. And then he's taken to the lion's den and put in that lion's den. Fearless. We would think that only a youth is fearless. We would think that a young person is fearless. We would think that really that's for the young people. Oh, he's brave. He's young. He doesn't know any better. That's usually how we think. He doesn't know any better. He's too, you know, young and dumb. That's a phrase, right? And they're fearless at that age. Because you can think that, hey, nothing can happen to you. Oh, no, I'm fine. But we see that type of fearless. His youth is renewed like the eagles. That's what God talks about. And that fearlessness actually occurs to him when he is older, when he is 80. That's an amazing thought. But that's a path you were set on. There's a lot that happens to Daniel. And you can say, well, that's a great story. But no, listen to me. This story of Daniel's life, he is not living in a great place. He's living in Babylon. Most of his buddies are basically prisoners, or basically they serve at the pleasure of a foreign king. They're not in a great place. He didn't grow up in a nice situation. But he made a decision that he was going to follow his God, which enough of a decision that King Darius says, your God. He says, Daniel's God. When I'm 80, may it be that they say Latasha's God. That when I'm put in the lion's den, that I have the faith that was like when I was young. It should not be that I decay. It should not be that my years, as I age, that my Christianity gets worse and worse. That is not God's expectation nor desire. Now, in the end, I will go to heaven, but it is possible that I can begin to make choices that destroy my own Christianity. And then I can live and I can justify those decisions. But I don't have the energy or the fervor or the passion. Daniel was used to going on his knees 3 times a day. Do you think because he felt like he had to? You don't do that at 80 unless you want to. There are a lot of things that are going to drop off in my life, in each one of our lives. And they're not going to be around in my life so many years from now. And we will. We'll give up some of that. We'll be like, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. Who needs to do that? But for Daniel, the one thing that was constant was his relationship with God. It was his constant. Now, we can juxtapose Samson in Judges 16. There is a young man. You've heard of Samson. He's a strong man. Samson is incredibly strong. He's young. He's used of the Lord. His birth was prophesied. He's amazing. He's set apart. He was ordained to bring fruit. But Daniel got mixed up with the wrong woman. In fact, we don't usually say Samson's name unless we say Delilah. Yeah, you heard.
The one with the long keys to have real long hair.
Yeah, that's it.
Cut it.
Yep.
Okay, I know that story.
I'd say, there you go.
Okay.
See, you know, but that's crazy stuff, right? Because
yeah.
she...
And he lost his power, right?
Lost his power.
Yeah.
But since that she came at him repeatedly, we can think that we are strong. But we can put ourselves in situations that weaken us. Mm. And this woman, day after day, night after night, ruins him. Mm. To his final moment is he's resting. His head is between her knees. And she lets him sleep. And this is a sleep of weakness. Calls them in and they cut his hair. And they gouge his eyes out. And then basically they mock him. And honestly, you could say that's the end of his life, but it's not. Because the Bible says that his hair grows again. And with his hair growing again, with one last effort, he absolutely goes forward and destroys the enemy. That's an interesting story. It's a very, that book, that man in Judges, he's very hard to think about, actually. There are parts of his life that we thank God for. A second chance. There are things that we appreciate, the mercy of God concerning his life. But here's the thing. There's this big period in his life where there's nothing going on. He loses his strength. You know, I don't want to lose my strength. I would rather be like Daniel, but I don't want to lose my strength. And here's the thing, that strength is not his. That strength was given from God. And it's easy. You know, we get older and we talk about things and it seems like, oh, that was nice when we were young. And that maybe can make us a lot like Samson because we put ourselves in the wrong situation. Or, even worse, we sabotage ourselves. Do you know what that means? We put ourselves in a situation knowing it is anti-God, knowing it's against God, and almost like we have to do it on purpose. Because we don't, the reason we really do it is we don't value our lives. So we sabotage ourselves. We put ourselves in a situation that is almost impossible for us to win. And even if we are to begin to win, Satan makes sure that he comes with the guilt god, small g, and to make sure that we feel just guilty enough that we don't keep going. Just guilty enough that we don't believe that our lives can matter anymore. And he feeds us lies because we sabotage ourselves. So then we go and potentially sabotage ourselves again. Because in our mind, the show is over. And that could be a way that we live. But there is the plotting, there is the decision to say that, listen, I don't want that. I want to be praying to God 3 times a day when I'm 80. I want to be able to stand up to all of Babylon and say, listen, put me in the lion's den. You know, we don't really hear words from Daniel so much because he's different when he's older. He doesn't have to say a lot of words. He lives a life. Now, you and I all will go to heaven. We'll all be there with him. But won't it be nice to take a step in the direction of heaven than have to be swooped down and brought to heaven? Do you understand the difference? Because maybe from the depth that I'm living in versus the life that I'm living in. Like God wants us to finish well. Paul talks about it. You know, he says, don't you know that those who run, they run to receive a prize. Now, I really think about that prize. That prize is that I would finish my course, finish my race with joy. Now, I appreciate what happened with Samson, but I honestly don't want to be Samson. I want to be Daniel. And I think we have to make sure that that's the reality, that, oh, my aim is not everybody around me, because you don't even know that they're going to be Samson. You don't know that they will have, that's great. That's almost decent with Samson. Many a king died not having returned to God. Many were stubborn, even when God was put right in front of them. That could be me. That could be I. I could do that tomorrow. I don't want to. Right, Nyasha? Do you want to? Good. That's it. You know what? I want to be Daniel. I want kids to mistake. That's an amazing testimony right there, that the average child loves Daniel in the lion's den because they think they can identify with him, not knowing that he's like an 80-year-old man. I want people to have, some people say, oh, when they get older, they won't have a testimony with kids. Yeah, you will. You walk with God, and that is a testimony. And I think, you know, I mean, there's more I could say. There are countless men in the Bible, women who just follow to the end. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is at the cross. That's an amazing thing, that she's still there. She's at the cross. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that I would stick around at the end, that I'd have a, you know, because the only way you can have a testimony is if you're around to have it. A testimony is to say something. What do we love about a testimony? A person is there to say, guess what? Here's a testimony. You can follow God all the way to the end. Here's a testimony. You don't have to go the wrong way. Daniel was a humble guy. There are going to be a lot of stumbling blocks, and I'll close with this on the along the way. There will be many things. There will be temptations. And they will try to woo me, try to draw me, much like Delilah did with Samson. They will try to get things from me, take my life, destroy my life. There are things that I could easily do. That's one. There will also be obstacles, things that are in the way that make me think that this is an impossible thing. And actually, God himself allows those obstacles so that I could know his greatness. But there'll be obstacles. There'll be large objects in the way that would seem to prevent me. But God himself can go over those obstacles as well. There are a lot of things in front of me. Like as I see the finish line, I see the tape. But there are things that are along the way. And then one final thing I want to say. There is, then there is myself. In one sense, I'm running against myself. I am like, Paul said it well. He said, in the same portion where he says I'm running this race, he says I have to beat my body into subjection. Paul, what are you saying? Are you crazy? He says, I have to beat my body. Maybe you know that feeling on a Sunday morning when you're dragging yourself to church. That's a little bit of like beating your body. On a Wednesday night, you drag yourself. You know, I have to beat my body into subjection. There's some times when you just want to say, oh, and it's not a temptation. It's you're weary. You're just weary. Maybe you're weary in well-doing. Maybe you're weary in walking right. And I have to kind of beat myself into subjection. Like, we're going to do this. And I find God. But another way is sometimes I have to beat this proud heart into subjection. And tell this heart that you don't know everything. That you know nothing as you ought to know. And Latasha, if you want to finish, you see the tape, it's way down there. If you want to finish this course, you will need to be taught. And you will need to make decisions that are going to, that you may not know the answer to. Meaning, like, sometimes you make decisions and you can't see ahead. It's like running a cross-country race. I follow the, when you run across country, I don't know if you've ever run that or seen that, but they're running usually kind of through woods and whatnot. It's not a normal street race. You could actually get lost. You're kind of like, you have to kind of follow the path. And they give you signs, but you got to pay attention. Because you can waste energy going kind of like, or waiting and looking. But I want to follow the path. I have to say, proud heart, follow the path. Other thing about cross-country race, it's not necessarily like a straight race where we're going to go this way. It's one of those kind of races where you go around the turn and you may not see the next turn. It's like driving at night in the country. And you're running and then you don't see the next turn. And each turn you make, you're not in control. It's an interesting kind of race. It's not necessarily a race of pure speed. Because you're not in control. You have to like trust the course. And trust that it's going to take you where you want to go. You and I are not in control. I have to sometimes beat this proud heart to say, whoa, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Don't lean to my own understanding. Think about him in all my ways, and he will direct my path. We know, many have heard that verse, Proverbs 3:5. But many don't know or talk about the next verse. And this is what I'll close with. The next verse says, do not be wise in your own eyes. I got this. I know what's going on. Oh, yeah. But fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust God. I want to finish like Daniel. There'll be temptation. There'll be obstacles. There'll be a fight. And it's really not the people around me. It's myself. Because ultimately, the people around me don't affect me. I make my decisions. You know, to a degree. And God would have me bear fruit that remains. He would have me, my story be read in such a way that people celebrate the end of my life, maybe more than the beginning. Better is the end of the matter than the beginning. So I think that's what I wanted to say tonight. Because, you know, if you're older here, you know that you started the road with maybe friends, maybe in a Christian environment. And maybe if you think about it now, many of them not so great, maybe not doing so well. You know, maybe many of them, if anything, they have, their freedom to sin has grown rather than their devotion to God. Have you noticed that? Their freedom to sin has grown rather than their devotion to God. So their light is rather turning more toward darkness rather than shining brighter. I don't want to be that. And let's believe God that 10 years from now, that, you know, who knows where the church and we will be in York. Let's believe that, God, that we are affecting more than York, but the world around us. Let's believe, God, that we're around and that we have a testimony. I don't know what's going to happen in America and the world, but I can know, I can say, Lord, maybe like Daniel, three times a day, knobby knees. Three times a day, I am like wanting to see your face, God. I need you. I need you when I'm 80, and I need you when I'm 20. I need you when I'm 10. I gave my life to the Lord at 10, and it was very real. I don't want to believe that he is less real now, because I will only have myself to blame. Because God wants to shine in me and through me and for me and lead me. So if I've lost, I was thinking about this, if I've lost something, the lost coin, if I've lost my desire, if I've lost whatever, the Bible says that when the woman has lost a coin in the house, she stops everything and she sweeps the house from top to bottom until she can find that coin. And when she's found that coin, she rejoices. But she, look at all the effort she puts into finding the coin. If I've lost some of that love, if I've lost that devotion, if I've lost, then sweep the house until you find the coin. Though he be not far from every one of us, he is near. He has not left. The coin is in the house, but I may have to do some serious house cleaning. Okay? Father, just thank you for the testimony that there are those who follow to the end, because otherwise we would almost believe it would be impossible. We will know that you have done so, but we realize our own frailty, but to know that there are others who've gone before us and followed you to the end. That's an amazing thing. It was said of Moses that when he got to the end of his life, that really his energy was the same. God, we want to know you in that way. We need to know you in that way. Or else why in the world are we in this? We have to believe that you can carry us to the end. That you would make us fruitful, Lord, that our labor would not be in vain. So we just praise you and thank you tonight, God, for that. Anyway, God, I pray for everyone here, because maybe that's a thought. I remember, and I've shared this story many times, but that's the one thing you do as you get older, is that you appreciate just the visitations of God more. I remember how you came when I was about 14 years old, and I was wondering, will I make it to the end? And how you spoke to me through a person on the street to whom I was soul winning. And that is, like, incredible. God, help us. We don't want to be Samson. We would be Daniel. These things were written for us. They were put in front of us so that we can, through faith, inherit the promises. What an amazing thing to die or to be carried away and to know that I followed you to the end. That is a greater miracle than if I could see and I was blind, if I was deaf and I could hear, if I was dumb and I could speak. That is a greater miracle than even to be, have been hooked on drugs and be delivered. That is the greater miracle is that I would live a life that followed you, not a season. So we pray that you would help us with that, because we can't do it alone. For your glory, for your honor, for your son's name, amen. Alrighty. Any comments or questions?
I'm glad I came.
I'm glad you too. Very happy to have you here.
I just think it's a really encouraging topic to think about, to finish well. And yeah, I think that's such a testimony to be doing the same thing, or to have the same spirit when you're 80, even when you're 16.
That was very good for me to hear too. I needed to hear that.
I think we all do. We can sometimes dip a little bit and we're like, okay, yeah, this is real life, you know?
Yeah.
We need to know that.
It's just crazy because where my other boys, they even said to me, you know, oh mom, you're so different with Marquise than you used to be with us. And my oldest, he'll be 25, and I was talking to him. But it was just like he said that I was just totally different with them, and I didn't even give him a choice to go to church. They had to, because I was in a different place myself.
Hmm.
And this was, of course, many years ago, and it just breaks my heart, because I was like, I was thinking about it, and I'm just like, you know, where did I stop? Because of my choices. Now this is, I have to fight and pray harder for my 14-year-old. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that Pastor Joe was talking to him, and I walked away but I'm a mother, so I'm like listening at the same time. So it was really good for me to hear that he believes in God. He's just upset right now because he's not feeling that God is answering him in his prayers. So I know I need to pray more. As a mother, mm-hmm. I need to pray more for him, over him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that Pastor Joe came over, because like I said, I kind of like walked away but at the same time, I was listening. But my oldest son, he said, you know, you're just different with him than you were with us. My boys, none of my boys go to church anymore. But my oldest son, he's incarcerated, but he did start going back to church up there in jail. And we talked, we had a nice little conversation yesterday and stuff, but that was just one thing he told me. He's like, Mom, you used to, Marquise was a baby when I just, he was just born. He was probably like 3 months old when I stopped going to church. Like, you know, he was just a baby. So I just got him baptized, and then something happened, and I completely shut myself down because I was very angry and bitter for a long time. So now...
Now your hair is growing again.
Yes, thank you. And getting stronger.
And you're not going to cut it.
No. But, yeah. So that's why when you were, you know, I just kind of think of those things, mm-hmm. because it's very important, right. How you said from 10 years old, you stay with God, you stay with him. It is very important because I've fallen, and now here I am trying to fight my way back. Not am I only trying to fight my way back, but because of me fallen, now I have a child who is questioning. I mean, you know, so it's difficult, but you know what? I know things are going to be okay.
Amen.
I claim that in the name of Jesus. I know things are going to be okay.
Yeah. Okay, you are doing the part that God gives us to do, and that is you have returned. I mean, all throughout the Old Testament, God says, only Israel, if you would return to me, mm-hmm. you know, then I would save you. And you have returned. And like you said, you know, your hair has grown again, so to speak. And honestly, cannot God do the miraculous? That's one thing we love about God, mm-hmm. is that we can screw it up royally, and then God can do something, a miracle. So, I mean, yes, I think that God can do a miracle, and I think you're on the right track by getting yourself built up, praying over him, praying for him, and, let's believe. I mean, God loves a good testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, what greater testimony is to say, you know, this kid going this way, to have him go this way. That's the Apostle Paul. He was going this way, and he went this way. So let's believe God, you know, that that's what we'd love to see, you know, be joking with him one day.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's in the church saying, I remember when you wouldn't step foot in here.
Oh, I know. But you know, it's funny is I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave my phone at home for now on. Because if you're hungry, we eat at church, you know, on Sunday. So when I come home, I'm full. I don't know about you. So it's kind of like I'm trying to pick and choose my battles with him. Mm. But I'm trying to find some, I don't want to say sarcasm. It's not sarcastic, but it's just like some balance because I know that I just need to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to fight with him and make him do and then turn completely the other way.
Right.
Especially the way that things are going up now.
Right. Plus you have to build that back, and apparently that place, I don't, sometimes parents have to regain ground. You give up some ground, you gave up too much ground. And you have to kind of claw one inch at a time to get that ground back. Teachers can do that in the classroom. A classroom can be completely out of control. And then tomorrow they want to come in and kind of lay down the law. It won't work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to gain that ground back an inch at a time,
mm-hmm.
and to get what that ground. So, you know, I mean, I think God is giving you wisdom and has given you wisdom. You know, and we pray with you, you know, and believe God with you, for your household, for you, and then and that, like I said, maybe 10 years from now, we're joking and laughing and can't believe all that God has done here. That's the beauty of the idea of, I could not honestly be in church. I'm not a church person. That's the truth. I couldn't believe just in church. Because I think 10 years from now, that's what I'm going to do on Sunday morning. I'm just going to come. Hi, Ralph. Hi, Sue. Hi, Joe. You know, it's just kind of like Sunday morning, 20 years later. That's not what I was talking about here. Daniel, that like his fire was fire. Enough that the bad guys still paid attention to him. Maybe he was even like, you know, I'm entertaining myself here. But maybe he even was kind of like, I'm going to pray, see what happens. I want some action in my life, in my Christianity.
Yeah, just kind of think that he's
messing with them.
Yeah, kind of being a bad boy.
Yeah, bad boy at 80 years old. Exactly.
Yeah, like,
that's exactly it. But I think that's great because he is testing them because it's like, you know, I know my God. He's got excitement in his life with God at 80 years old. That to me is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that too. I want our church to do that. I love pushing the envelope personally and whatever in my life. I want more and more. You know, I love as a church that last year was 1,000. This year we went for 2. And it was, you know, hysterical. And then we go for different things. And to have the church body that was out there on Saturday night was absolutely incredible. I just believe that we can have fun in our Christianity, kind of pushing it with God. Like, you know, hey, because I don't want to, you know, I believe that as I run this race, my race can actually be interesting. Otherwise, I'll just start walking rather than running. You know what I mean? It's like, it can be interesting. God, if I let him, will always give me an interesting race. It'll always be a little scary, a little interesting, a little whatever. But that's if I take my hands off, but I follow his path. And, but, you know, but we can get derailed. You got derailed, you're back on the race, now the race is interesting. Let's see where, there's more to me in the plan of God. I love the surprise of, huh, let me pray for that. And then it happens, and it's mind-blowing. Or like let me ask God for some crazy thing. You know, like even a couple days ago I did. And it's like, let me just ask for something wild. Okay, now it's there. Like, that's an exciting Christian life. Because now, like, he said, whatever you ask of me. And so it's interesting to think about that I can have a life that asks of God great things. Like, Daniel challenges them when he's 16 to say, I'm not going to eat that meat. Like, check this out. He can now challenge them at 80. I'm going to pray, and it'll be what it'll be. Check this out. And his buddies do the same thing. They said, we are not careful. I love the way the King James says this. We will not be careful to answer you on this matter. Meaning, we're not going to... His buddies, you might have heard that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get thrown in a furnace. And they are just walking around in the fire. This is an exciting Christian life. It's very boring, the type of life I find that some Christians who are not in the plan of God are. They're boring. They are bored, and they are boring. And they are boring people. Because that's not the way that God intended. And our lives are boring outside of God. And it's just exciting for us to be able to do this. And God is not thinking all the time, so when you're 70, I wonder what I'm going to do to keep you interested. Right? God's not going to be like, you know, I wonder how I'm going to keep you interested in me. You know, it's not going to be the way it is. It's always exciting. It's always interesting. Pastor Jay will tell you that, you know, he was wondering down in Florida what's the next step. He didn't know he'd be pastoring a church and selling a house or whatever. He was lining up golf swings, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom. That's the way it is. We think it's over. We think we're not worth anything. We don't think we have any value. We think we screwed it up, and boom, my life's exciting. And I love that about our Christianity, that we take that next turn to be at the end. May we all in this room be at the end and be able to smile and to say, for your glory. You know who reminds me of that? It's Mary Jane, Connie's mom. That woman is 80-some years old, and she, her strength has not abated. I still stay away from her hugs. I'm not even kidding. She's going to break a rib one day, so it'll be mine. That woman is strong, okay? But feisty, loves God, and this woman, she can pray for that. She comes home on Friday, okay, which is tomorrow. Pray for that. But I just think, she inspires me. Because I think of her life, and that's really what I want. And she's like, I'm ready to go home whenever. You know, she's just feisty. But I believe that God has her around because she is an inspiration. You know, she is in a lot of ways our Daniel. And she does not care. You know, and I really appreciate that. And it's a ministry. So let's, you know, may we all be Mary Janes, and even more so. She's lived a full life, but always, always after God, and has even brought Connie back into the church, you know, which I didn't know that. But, you know, so she has a ministry that she just has before God, and what a inspiration and friend Connie has been. So we go, but let's just finish. Let's see that tape, but let's not... I sometimes I get this feeling like, well, you know, God's going to take this. God's going to take that. I won't be able to do this. I'm going to miss that. And it's kind of like, this is God. Hello, it's God. It's not about what, you know, that's that other side. I said, I'm reading Ecclesiastes. Your life's going to be a living hell. Or it's Christianity, where I feel like I live a lifetime in a day. Today, you know, it was a crazy day at school, and at one point, candy was flying everywhere, and I said, no teacher should allow children to eat that much candy, and it was me who did that, done that, you know, yeah, it was crazy, but, you know, it's very fun, we had a fun day, and it's just, you know, there's an adventure in the walk with God, and at Easter, we had 120 people. That's like there's an adventure in it. You know, I don't have to live this, got to do this today, and this is my life, whatever. I just don't want to live like that. You know, that's not how it was intended. God intended that I would bear much fruit and my fruit would remain. But he is the one who wants to have his hands on the wheel. And once we come back to that, everything's okay. Even if we screwed up until then, we come back to that and everything is okay. So, that was the B part. All right. Amen. God bless you guys.